Ariadne Afnaxous at the IU Musical Arts Center is a wonderful mixture of sometimes moving high drama and very funny low comedy. Two companies have been hired to entertain the cultured guests of a wealthy patron between an evening's dinner and a show of fireworks. Thus, the composed opera of the lamenting Ariadne, Jenny Schuller, abandoned by Theseus and only saved from death by the arrival of Bacchus, Jeffrey Springer, and there's the improvised Commedia dell'arte tale of Zerbinetta, Jenny Mosier, and her four suitors. The opera begins with a lovely overture and an extended view of the occasionally fitful, sleeping Ariadne, and then it's into the prologue proper of backstage chaos. The two companies are preparing for the evening. Benjamin Bird as the dancing master is rehearsing, wigmaker Rodney Long is working on a piece, a march of servants proceeds in and out in comic fashion. At first, the tension is over the evening's order. Will the slapstick follow those cigars and brandy, or the high drama? Amidst all this, the major domo, Christoph Irmscher, announces that the dinner is running late, the fireworks will start as scheduled, and the patron wants both plays to be presented at the same time. The composer, Elisaveta Aglaetzi, is distraught. It's only with the counsel of the teacher, Milan Babic, the lure of the fee, and the charm of Zerbinetta that she agrees. The Ariadne and the Bacchus are convinced when each is told that it's the other who'll have lines cut. Zerbinetta, always the professional, counsels her quartet that they'll try to cheer things up, and so the curtain descends. As this prologue ends, there's a curtain call, and well-deserved applause for the teacher, the conflicted composer, the wig maker, the dancing master, the lackey, and the marching staff. In Act Two, the deserted Ariadne is fitfully sleeping on a rock in Naxos outside her cave. A trio of gossamer-clad ladies, two nymphs and an echo, describe her pains and circle around her. They were lovely, though I wished for a bit more separation between the nymphs and their echo. Strauss has written some of his finest dramatic music for Ariadne, and guest Jenny Schuller drew applause for her dramatic presence and singing. Zerbinetta, the athletic Jenny Mosier, made the effort to rouse Ariadne to the topic of love and womanhood in the pyrotechnics of her high and mighty princess aria. Again, more applause. Although the Commedia dell'arte troupe proved unsuccessful in their efforts to rouse Ariadne, they were quite the hit with the audience. It's great to hear a Musical Arts Center crowd laugh out loud. In the extended finale of Ariadne Afnaxous, resolute tenor Jeffrey Springer appears as Bacchus, and at first Ariadne believes he's the god of death that she's been eagerly awaiting. It takes a Wagner-tinged while for Bacchus, who's still a bit under the spell of Circe's potion, and for Ariadne, who's quite wedded to her anticipation of death, to get things straightened out, but they do. Ariadne is with Bacchus, Zerbinetta has settled on Harlequin from her suitors, and the probably still grieving composer, at least, is well paid for his efforts. Saturday night's Ariadne and Zerbinetta were richly applauded at the curtain. Nisdell Austin, Patrick Conklin, Jeremy Gusson, and Vincent Festa were enthusiastically greeted for their comic and vocal efforts. Maya Vansuch, Gabriela Fagan, as the nymphs, with Savannah Weber as their echo, were applauded as well. Arthur Fagan conducts Ariadne Afnaxous with loving attention to the detail of the orchestration and to both the serious and the richly comic aspects. James Marvel is the inventive stage director. You can find this review and an interview with Zerbinetta on our website at wfiu.org/arts. The IU Opera Theater's Ariadne Afnaxous plays February 2nd, 3rd, 9th, and 10th at 7:30 in the Musical Arts Center. And at the theater for you, I'm George Walker.